This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, the story of the creation of our father Adam and our mother Hawa is a story that is a constant theme in the Quran. In almost one dozen places in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the story of Adam and Hawa. It is in the very first pages of the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah, and it continues throughout so many surahs. And in this story, there is so much wisdom and benefit for us to learn from. There are morals, there are lessons. This story, it signifies so many wisdoms of the creation of man. And in today's short khutbah, I will illustrate only one angle, only one aspect of the benefits we can derive from the story of Adam alayhi salam, and that is the benefits of dua. What benefits can we derive from the concept of dua? Why do we make dua? How do we make dua? What is the etiquette of making dua? This is what we will look at through the lens of the story of Adam and what happened to our father Adam. Now we know the story, and that is that Allah Azza wa Jal created Adam, and from Adam He created Hawa. And He blessed them to live in Jannah and to eat and drink from whatever they wanted except for one tree. And in this, by the way, we learn something. And that is the nature of Allah, the divine wisdom of Allah, that Allah created Adam and He gave him everything. He automatically gave him Jannah. He blessed him with Jannah instantaneously. And this is because Allah is Al-Kareem and Allah is Al-Razzaq. Allah is Al-Wadood. Allah loves to give. Allah is Al-Razzaq. He gives and He loves to give. He created Adam without Adam having asked to be created. He gave Adam everything. He gave him a spouse. He gave him all of Jannah. And this shows us the merciful nature of Allah. Without Adam doing anything, he was blessed with everything. And this is because of Allah and the divine nature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah said, don't eat from one tree. Why? Because even at that point in time, there is some sharia, there is some law. There will only be no law in the next life. In this life, there will be some law. So Adam was told, don't eat from one tree. You know, Iblis came and Iblis seduced. And Iblis seduced Adam and promised him a long life. And so what happened? Adam ate of the tree. And because of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the both of them down to this earth. Now, what was the reaction? Iblis and Adam, the both of them, they disobeyed Allah. But their disobediences were different. As for Iblis, he disobeyed out of arrogance and he refused to prostrate to Adam. And as for Adam, he disobeyed out of weakness. He was seduced. He was tempted. And when the both of them committed their sin, what was their response? Iblis did not seek Allah's forgiveness. Rather, Iblis in his arrogance, he blamed Allah. The Quran says, when Allah said to Iblis, why didn't you prostrate? What was your problem? So he blamed Allah, Rabbi bima aghwaytani. Oh my Lord, you're the one who caused me to go astray. It's not my fault. You're the one who did this. You're the one who decreed this. What was Adam's response? When Adam ate of the tree, what was Adam's response? Rabbana zalamna anfusana. Wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. Look at the two different responses to the two different sins. The both of them are sinners. Iblis committed a sin. But his sin led to kufr. His sin led to rejection. Adam committed a sin. His sin led to penitence, led to repentance, led to tawbah. So Allah Azza wa Jal accepted the repentance of Adam. Why? Because Adam made dua to Allah, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. Oh Allah, I have wronged myself. We have wronged ourselves. And if you don't forgive us and you don't have mercy on us, then we will be from those who are lost. Iblis became more arrogant. It's not my fault, it's your fault. You decreed this. So we benefit from this, my dear brothers and sisters, that when we commit a sin, committing a sin is human. You are not going to be the first nor the last. Every human is a sinner. Our father Adam committed a sin. You are not going to be any better than, you are not an angel and I'm not an angel. We commit sins. But what is the response when we commit a sin? Do we want to follow Adam? We want to follow Iblis. We have two options in front of us. We follow Adam, رَبَّنَا ظَلْمَنَا أَنفُسَنَا. Oh Allah, I have wronged myself. It's my fault. Forgive me. Follow Iblis? It's no big deal. It's not my fault. This is the difference, one of the differences we learn from the story of Adam and Iblis. Another difference that we learn is that not all sins are the same, and I referenced this a bit earlier, that the sin of Adam was a sin of desire, and a sin of Iblis was the sin of arrogance. And the two sins are not the same. The sin of arrogance is always worse than the sin of desire. It's not saying that the sin of desire is halal, of course it's not halal. But the sin of Adam was the sin of being seducted, tempted. He wanted something of a shahwa, of a something of a pleasure. And this sin is wrong, but it is not as bad as the sin of arrogance. The sin of arrogance is the sin of Iblis, and that is to reject the commandments of Allah. And this leads us to a very simple point, my dear brothers and sisters. If anybody finds himself committing a sin, then acknowledge it is a sin. And don't reject the nature of the sin. At least acknowledging it is a sin, you have some hope. Now, nobody misinterpret and say that, oh, I am saying go ahead and commit this sin. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. But we have two options again. And the one is to know it is a sin. And the other is to say, why is this haram? I don't care if it's haram. And what I'm saying is to reject Allah's sharia. To reject, why is alcohol haram? I don't care. Maybe it's haram for you guys, it's halal for me. If anybody says this, he is following Iblis and this is kufr. To reject Allah's command is kufr. To not follow it perfectly, this is a sin. This is a big difference between the two. And therefore, once again, we learn from the story of Adam and Iblis that if one finds himself committing a sin, never ever justify the sin. Never say, why is this a sin? It should be halal. No, acknowledge it is a sin. And Adam acknowledged it is a sin. Another point of benefit that we learned from the story of Adam and Iblis is that look at the fact that the both of them turned to Allah. Iblis turned to Allah eventually, and Adam turned to Allah. But look at so many differences. Now, the first difference, when did they turn to Allah? When did they turn to Allah? Iblis at the very end when there was no other hope. Adam at the very beginning when he realized he committed a sin. As soon as Adam realized he committed a sin, immediately, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. Iblis, he kept on arguing with Allah. Oh Allah, I am better than him. I am created from nar, he is created from teen. You caused me to do this. Until when finally Allah Azza wa Jal gave him the last curse. إِنَّ عَلَيْكَ لَعْنَتِي إِلَى يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. My la'na is upon you to the very end of times. Now Iblis is trapped. There is no hope for Iblis. So what does he do? قَالَ أَنظِرْنِي إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. Oh Allah, let me live until the day of judgment. قَالَ أَنظِرْنِي. Let me, I want to live till the day of judgment. So we learn from this. The believer never delays asking Allah. The believer is eager to ask Allah, especially repentance. The mu'min does not delay tawbah. He doesn't put it aside next day, tomorrow. No, immediately he will turn to Allah. And the one who postpones, the one who delays, he is following Iblis. Another difference, notice what are they asking? Iblis is asking for life. Iblis is asking for this world. And Adam is asking for forgiveness in the next. So we notice another difference here. The believer, his main dua, the focus of his dua will be maghfirah, rahmah, hidayah, guidance, mercy, jannah. This is the main focus. And as for Iblis, what was his only focus? This dunya. He has no dua for the next. He didn't ask anything for the next. He only wants this dunya. And this shows us, my dear brothers and sisters, that when we look at our dua, we should make sure that the bulk of our dua is about the next world, about spiritual good. And some bit of this is for this world. Allah Azza wa Jal criticizes the one who only asks of this world. Why? Because everybody asks of this world. That is not the difference between the mu'min and the kafir. Even Iblis asks of this world. Allah says in the Quran, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ, there are some people who say, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. He only wants this dunya, so he's not going to get anything in the next. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ, but there are those people who say, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. There are three du'as, right? آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Of these three du'as, two of them are related to spiritual and deen, and one of them is dunya. Two of them is the religion. فِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. And one of them, رَبَّنَا أَتَنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً. So this gives us a good overall percentage. Like 2/3 of our dua should be dedicated to spirituality, to hidayah, to maghfirah. Oh Allah, make me righteous, make my children righteous. And yes, 1/3, a good healthy amount. Oh Allah, give me good rizq. Oh Allah, give me good sustenance. But the problem comes when we neglect the spiritual aspect and we only ask for this dunya. Even Iblis only asks of this dunya. That does not make him a believer. Of the benefits we gain from the story of Adam and Iblis is that merely making dua does not make you righteous. Merely asking dua and asking Allah when you are in trouble is not a sign of iman. So when you fall sick, when your son is in the hospital, everybody becomes religious at that point in time. That is not a sign of iman. Even Iblis discovers religion when he is cursed by Allah. Even Iblis will say, allow me to live. The real test is to make dua and to ask and to pray at times of ease and comfort. Allah Azza wa Jal tells us in the Quran that the Quraysh would turn to Allah at times of difficulty. The Quraysh, when they're about to die, they make dua to Allah. Then when they're at comfort and ease, they neglect Allah and they forget about Him. And we learn this from the story of Iblis as well, that the same thing happens, that when Iblis needs Allah, he asks Allah. How about Adam alayhi salam? Adam was a continual worshipper. It wasn't just one dua he made. This was the beginning of a life of ibadah. And this shows us that the believer worships Allah fi sarra'i wa dharra, in good and in difficulty, in ease and in hardship. The believer is consistent in his worship of Allah. And no doubt at times of distress, the dua might be a little bit more passionate. But it's not that he neglects dua at times of ease. No. So the believer is always asking and always worshipping. But the one of no iman or weak iman, he only asks when he thinks he needs Allah. When he thinks he needs Allah, then he will ask Allah. Like Iblis. And by the way, we need Allah all the time. This is just an illusion. When my son is sick, I need Allah. No, you need Allah right now. The same amount as when your son is sick. You need Allah every second, every single millisecond of your existence. Allah Azza wa Jal's mercy encompasses everything. Without His mercy, we could do nothing. But it is an illusion. We think we need Allah more when we're sick. No, we need Allah all the time. And we're always dependent upon Allah. So the one who truly understands this will continually worship Allah at all times, day and night. And Allah says in the Quran about Zakariya and his wife that they would call upon us at night and in day. They would call upon us throughout the night and throughout the day, always making dua. And this is the reality of the mu'min. And as for the one who only turns to Allah at times of distress, then I caution you and I warn you, you are following the path of Iblis, not the path of Adam alayhi salam. The one who realizes he only raises his hand at times of need, this is a big problem. And realize as well, my dear brothers and sisters, we learn from the story of Adam and Iblis that the both of them, they asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so they realized that Allah would give them what they want. Even Iblis, despite his kufr, asked Allah. So how foolish is the one who asks other than Allah? Iblis is not a Muslim, he's a kafir. But Iblis was not that foolish to commit shirk. How foolish is the one then who turns to an idol for help? How foolish is the one then who turns to a saint or a wali and says, Ya Abdul Qadir al-Jilani, Ya Fulan, give me what I want. Even Iblis turned to Allah and Allah alone. Because he realizes when you want something, only Allah can give it to you. The mu'min, the la ilaha illallah, the one who says la ilaha illallah. What does it mean? I will not seek my help, my aid, my dua, my worship from other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the believer turns to Allah at times of need. In fact, even the intelligent kafir turns to Allah at times of need. That's what the Quraysh, what does Allah say? That at times of ease, they turn to Allah. At times of difficulty, they turn to Allah. At times of ease, then they will go to their idols. Why? Because even the Quraysh recognize that only Allah will give you what you want. Of the benefits we learn from the story of Adam and Iblis is that the both of them got what they wanted. Adam was forgiven, and Iblis was given an eternal life in this world, of course, eternal to this dunya only. Iblis was given what he wanted. What does this show us? It shows us that anybody who turns to Allah sincerely, anybody who turns to Allah sincerely will be given that dua. This is an amazing fact. One of the scholars of the past said, how can anybody give up hope of his dua being accepted when even Iblis's dua was accepted? How can any believer in Allah give up hope that my dua is not going to be accepted, Allah is not going to accept my dua, when even Iblis's dua was accepted? Are you worse than Iblis? Am I worse than Iblis? No. So if Iblis had his dua accepted, then how can you and I be pessimistic that Allah will not accept my dua? On the contrary, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that each and every dua that a believer makes, as long as it is halal, it's not for haram, it's not for something evil, each and every dua will be responded to by Allah. What does it mean, responded to? It means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will either give you what you want, or He will give you something better that you did not realize was better for you. Or He will avert an evil from you. So suppose you wanted a job, and you're making dua to Allah, oh Allah, I want this particular job, I want this job. If you pray sincerely, your dua will be answered. But what does it mean, answered? Perhaps that job is not in your best interest, and Allah knows this. Perhaps the company will go bankrupt the next day. Perhaps it will be a problem for you, and you don't realize it. Your dua is accepted. Allah will give you not necessarily that job, but a job better than what you asked for. This is what our Prophet ﷺ said, that any believer who asks Allah sincerely, and it is halal, it's not in haram, it's not in breaking the ties of kinship, Allah Azza wa Jal will respond to his dua. The Sahaba were shocked and they said, Ya Rasulullah, if this is the case, إِذَن نَسْتَكْثِرْ, we will ask Allah for plenty of things. You are telling me that any dua I make sincerely, Allah will give me something in return. We will then ask Allah for plenty. إِذَن نَسْتَكْثِرْ. And our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he smiled and he said, Allahu Akthar. Allah is more than what you can ask for. Do you think you and your puny little body can ask Allah something that Allah will not be able to give? Do you think me and you combined are going to diminish the kingdom of Allah with our requests? Is Allah Azza wa Jal like a millionaire that He gives 1,000 and that His money will be diminished? لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. وللله خزائن السماوات والأرض. To Allah belongs the treasures of the heavens and earth. And Allah will give and give and give, and He will still have infinity to give. So the believer asks Allah for anything and everything. There is no holes barred. And this is the fundamental difference between asking Allah and asking the creation. When you ask the creation, the more you ask the creation, the more irritated they will be at you. But the more you ask Allah, the more Allah will love you. The more you ask Allah, the more Allah will love you. Why? Because everything belongs to Allah. You belong to Allah and I belong to Allah. So you ask Allah, acknowledging and recognizing that Allah is Malikul Mulk. Allah is the one who تُعْطِي مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ that Allah Azza wa Jalla تُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. That Allah Azza wa Jalla is the one that whoever wishes to give, Allah says, when I wish to give, nobody can stop what I want to give. And when I want to prevent, nobody can give what I will prevent. So my dear brothers and sisters, the story of Iblis and Adam is a story that so much we can benefit from, but only looking simply at the angle of dua and at the angle of turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can derive so many benefits. And very quickly, to conclude the first half of the khutbah, even look at the manners that Adam and Iblis used when they asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Adam says, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. And Iblis says, أَنظِرْنِي إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. In the tone, the language, the mannerisms, the content, there is so much difference. Adam begins with the name of Allah, Rabbana. And so we too as well should begin du'as with the name of Allah. We should always try to incorporate Ya Rahman, Irhamni, Ya Razzaq, Urzuqni, Ya Ghaffar, Ighfirli, Ya Rahman, Irhamni. And Allah says to Him belongs the beautiful names, so make du'a using those names. Number two, Adam says, Zalamna Anfusana. So when we make a du'a, we begin, after we praise Allah, we begin by acknowledging our shortcomings. Oh Allah, I ask You because You are Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, and I am Your servant who is a sinner. I have not worshipped You the way You deserve to be worshipped, but I still am asking You because You are Akramul Akrameen, You are Arhamul Rahimeen, and I am the Mudhnib, the Faqir. And what did Musa say? Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. Musa is saying, oh my Lord, I am faqir to You. Anything You give me, I am faqir. I'm a beggar. I have no choice other than You. So we acknowledge our shortcomings in front of Allah. And we acknowledge we have not been perfect worshippers. We acknowledge our sins. Then we, after we praise Allah and we acknowledge our sins, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا, then we ask Allah what we want. فَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا, forgive us, have mercy on us. And in this we plead and we beg, لَنَكُنَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And this shows us sincerity. The dua has to come from the heart. The dua has to come from the qalb, not just from the tongue. As for Iblis, look at the arrogance of Iblis. قَالَ أَنظِرْنِي إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. It is as if he is commanding. It is as if, allow me to live, or let me live. This is like a command. Let me live till the day of judgment. No, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا. No, nothing of this. It is simply, allow me to live, or let me live until the day of judgment. There is no shortcoming acknowledged. There is no inherent praise of Allah. So all of this shows us the differences between the etiquettes of Adam and the etiquettes of Iblis. And obviously, we must follow the etiquettes of Adam as we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Barakallahu wa lakum fi Qur'an al-azim. Wa nafa'ani wa iyaakum bima fihim al-ayat wa dhikr al-hakim. Aqulu ma tasma'un. Wa astaghfirullah al-azim li wa lakum. Wa li sa'il muslimin kulli dhanbin. Fastaghfiruhu innahu huwa al-ghafur al-rahim. استغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وأتوب إليه استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله أسألك الجنة وأعوذ بك من النار. الحمد لله الواحد الأحد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وبعد. Our Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, ليس شيء أكرم على الله من الدعاء. There is nothing that is more noble in the eyes of Allah than dua. There is nothing that is more noble, akram, in the eyes of Allah than dua. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبَ لَكُمْ. Your Lord has said, make dua to me, I will respond to you. ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبَ لَكُمْ. It's a simple command and response to the command. If you make dua, I will respond to you. ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبَ لَكُمْ. And my dear brothers and sisters, our Prophet ﷺ emphasized in an authentic hadith, الدُّعاء مُخُّ الْعِبَادَةِ. Dua is the مُخ, and مُخ in Arabic doesn't necessarily mean brains, it means the backbone. Dua is the backbone of ibadah. Dua is the backbone of ibadah. All other limbs come from this backbone. All the flesh, everything comes from this backbone. Dua is the backbone of ibadah. Why? Because dua illustrates perfectly the relationship between the servant and the master, between the worshipper and the worship, between the abd and the rabb. There is nothing that illustrates this better than dua. When you make dua to Allah, you acknowledge that Allah is your rabb, that Allah is Rahman and Rahim, that Allah is Sami' and Alim, He hears you, He sees you, that Allah is Ra'uf and Rahim, He cares about you. You acknowledge that Allah is powerful. You wouldn't make dua to a being that is not powerful. You acknowledge Allah loves you. You acknowledge that Allah Azza wa Jalla will give you what you want. And you acknowledge, I can't get it. I don't have the power to get it. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. All of this is acknowledged inherently when you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why dua must come from the heart of the believer. The one who believes in Allah must always make dua. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. What does that mean? We're always worshipping You and we're always asking You for what we need. إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. We ask You for what we need. So therefore, dear brothers and sisters, make dua to Allah. Make dua frequently. Make dua passionately. Make dua throughout the day and the night. Make dua for this dunya. Make dua for the next. Make dua for yourselves. Make dua for your families and children. Make dua for the Muslim ummah. Our Prophet ﷺ said, the most stingily Muslim, the most miserly person is the one who can't even make dua. What does it cost you? Raise your hands up to Allah and make dua for whatever you want. Make dua for that which will benefit you and the ummah. And realize the more dua you make, the more Allah will love you. The more dua you make, the more Allah will bless you. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna Allah hayyun kareem." Allah is bashful and shy and generous. Hayy, haya, hayy. He is bashful and shy and generous. That when one of you raises his hands up to Allah, Allah is too shy to allow those hands to come down empty. This is our Lord. This is our Lord. So when you have such a Lord who wants you to make dua, and He will give you and give you and give you, then what is preventing you from making dua? Everything should be made dua for. Our mother Aisha said that if your shoelace breaks, if your sandal strap breaks, then make dua to Allah that you get a new shoelace. Because if Allah doesn't give you a shoelace, you're not going to get a shoelace. There is nothing that is trivial in the eyes of Allah. Whatever you need, you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the most important condition, and with this we inshallah conclude, the most important condition of making dua is ikhlas or sincerity. Dua must come from the heart. It's not something you open up a book and you read, you don't even know what you're saying. This is not dua. Dua must come from the heart. Dua must come from the qalb. It must have khushu'. It must be invoking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you may make dua in any language outside of salah. You may make dua in any language. Because Allah understands all languages. Some of us think we can only make dua in Arabic. And no doubt, Arabic du'as of the Quran and Sunnah are the best and we should memorize them. But suppose we have a particular dua that is not found in the Quran and Sunnah, that for example, a specific need, oh Allah, I need this job, please help me get this job. It's not going to find it specifically in the Quran and Sunnah. You may make dua in your own language. Raise your hand up to Allah and ask Allah for whatever you need. Because dua is an act of worship that doesn't need to be done in Arabic. Unlike the salah and unlike the Quran, this must be done in Arabic. But dua, and this is by unanimous consensus of all the scholars of Islam, that dua is universal. It's not something that can only be done in Arabic. So my dear brothers and sisters, remember the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, Allah will promise to answer your dua, to respond to your dua, as long as it is halal. And when the Sahaba said, we will ask for so much, Ya Rasulullah, Allah Prophet ﷺ said, Allah is more than what you can ask for. Allahu Akthar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who worship Him the way He deserves to be worshipped. Allahumma inni da'in fa'amminu. Allahumma la tada'na fi hadha al-yawmi dhamman illa ghafarta. Wala hamman illa farajta. Wala daynan illa qadayta. Wala maridan illa shafayta. Wala asiran illa yassarta. Allahumma aghfir lana wa li ikhwanina alladhina sabaquna bil iman. Wala taja'a fi qulubina ghillan lilladhina amanu. Rabbana innaka ra'ufur rahim. Allahumma a'izz al-islam wal muslimin. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم من أرادنا أو أراد الإسلام والمسلمين بسوء فاشغله بنفسه واجعل تدميره في تدبيره يا قوي يا عزيز عباد الله إن الله تعالى أمركم بأمر بدأ به بنفسه وثنى بملائكة قدسه وثلث بكم أيها المؤمنون من جنه وإنسه فقال عز من قائل عليما إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وأنعم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين عباد الله إن الله تعالى يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه يزد لكم ولذكر الله تعالى أكبر وأقم الصلاة